What makes the butterfly a beautiful butterfly is effort. What makes the butterfly a beautiful butterfly is the effort it takes to break out of the cocoon. My best-selling product is called Effortless Abundance. The best-selling products are gadgets. Gadgets that make everything effortless. Because you don't want any effort. You are, through and through, part of the 8 billion. And you are not happy. If you are one of the 1,000 people on planet Earth who are happy. If you are one of the 1,000 people on planet Earth who are happy, you don't know that you are happy. You don't know that you are happy because you don't live inside the same paradigm of happy as the 8 billion people. You may not know that you are different. But why? You may feel you are different. But you don't know why, you don't know how. Obviously you don't know the cause, so you can't teach it. You don't know because of a principle that is often repeated, but no one seems to know what the heck it means. The principle is that we don't see things as they are, we see them as we are. This is from the Talmud, and was written 1,600 years ago. The Talmud's truth value is 80%, and no matter how many people quoted this principle since, this is the oldest trace in writing. Why is this knowledge, the knowledge of this principle, important to you? Important for understanding what is going on? Because human ability to see outside of seeing as they are is very limited. Narrow. Your ability, my ability. I used to complain that people can only see 3 inches below and about an inch above their eye level. I was looking at intelligence at the time. When you look at a 1,000 person, they don't make sense why they would be happy. They don't have the trappings of riches, the looks, the comforts, the signs of happiness. You measure with your own yardstick, and you would be utterly miserable in their situation. What the 1,000 see when they look at you, they can see that you are miserable regardless of what you have, yet cannot see how and why. The how and the why, the root level, is invisible. And it also means about the 1,000, that when others look at a member of the 1,000, they cannot see what is special about him or her. Because they only see what they have always seen, themselves. Even Leo Tolstoy, who wasn't one of the 1,000, only saw an aspect of that, albeit saw more than mere mortals. He saw that the happy people didn't have the troubles that troubled most families. But could not put his finger on the real thing. On what they did have that would automatically exclude from their lives what they didn't have. If and when you wanted to distinguish what is at the core of the 1,000, you need to do a lot of taking away of the elements normal people have. It boils down to, ultimately, just one thing. The deepest layer of the onion. Before I cut your cocoon open, I'll let you flap your wings a little, effort a little, so that maybe, if possible, you can become a butterfly. You do remember that what makes the butterfly a beautiful butterfly is the effort, don't you? So let's see what is distinguishing? Distinguishing is pointing out everything relevant that isn't the thing you are trying to distinguish. Distinguishing is a takeaway type of process. Also called subtractive thinking. When you have eliminated all which is impossible, then whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. Arthur Conan Doyle, The Case Book of Sherlock Holmes, an example of subtractive thinking. I first heard distinguishing demonstrated in a landmark class back in August 1985. I sat in the third row of a small classroom on the top of a mountain with 270-degree view of the Mediterranean Sea in Haifa, Israel. The class leader spoke Hebrew. And although I had been in Israel for 3 years at the time, this was the first sentence I understood in that class. He held up a piece of chalk. You know the thing they used to make marks on a blackboard. It was common in the Stone Ages of 1985. Lol. I was 38 years old. Most of my clients weren't even born then. Anyway, he said, here is this chalk. What distinguishes this chalk is the not chalk around it. If I extended the chalk in every direction, up, down, sideways, the chalk would disappear. When it is all chalk, chalk disappears. It becomes everything slash nothing. I've known many thousands of landmark participants who didn't get that. For some reason I did, even though it was spoken in a language I wasn't very good at. I got something, I got everything slash nothing, I got distinguishing. In the one sentence on the mountain in Haifa. Now, what does this have to do with happiness, you ask? Everything. You see, the culture of Homo sapiens, the species that ate from the tree of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, lives in the everything slash nothing. In it is all chalk culture of right and wrong. Outside of that tree of good and evil there is reality. Reality where there is nothing wrong. Not ever. Not any. None. But not for the 8 billion. They can't see reality. They can only see right and wrong. The 1,000 live in reality. The 8 billion live on the tree of knowledge, where everything is either right or wrong. There is not even any mention of reality. What makes people not happy, not joyous is this right and wrong. The fact that their feet are never on solid ground, never in reality, never in the reality of no right and no wrong. In reality where things happen and they have no meaning. Wrong and right are meanings. Added by the addled brain of Homo sapiens. As all wrong and all right and all good and all bad are all meanings. There are no meanings in reality. All meanings create emotions. Some meanings create smiles, most meanings create frowns. Even reframing is a Homo sapiens activity. The best a Homo sapiens can do with what they have. No reality. Only meanings. In my work with source turning on and turning off adjustable genes, so far we have found that there are three genes that are set differently in the 1000. Three genes, the two child genes and the responsibility genes need to be in a certain position for a Homo sapiens to even catch a glimpse of reality. Reality that is empty of meaning. They're things, you, just are. What the inane Indian gurus call pure being is only possible in reality. And there it is, the normal. But just like talking about flying isn't. Talking about pure being isn't either. When they say pure being, a trained ear can hear that is good. Signifying that the speaker is not in reality, they are in meaning world. Occurrence, or personal reality. Not reality itself. The same is true when they talk about all the things they talk about. Including oneness, non-duality, and whatever the happy horse shit they talk about making everybody want it. It sounds so delicious. But that is how you know it is from the meaningful world. I have been reading Jerry Seinfeld's book Is This Anything? And I am laughing my ass off. But at the same time I also track that he never thinks good, never thinks bad, never thinks wrong, never thinks right. And that is what makes what he says so darn funny that even after I turn the light off, I am still laughing. My new favorite bit where he talks about the baby climbing in bed between him and his wife, and it's like a sack of goat, kicking, and being like an oven, hot and kicking. No meaning. Very 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 funny when the meaning is taken away. Probably not funny when the meanings are there. Which they are, judging from clients who as kids climb to their parents' bed. I was beaten as a child. I was beaten until age 24. That is how old I was when I was last beaten by my mother. I was late to dinner. What my mother didn't know is that I had to walk the 7 miles from my apartment to theirs, because I didn't have money for the bus fare. What she also didn't know is that I hadn't eaten for 3 days at the time. But she beat me. And it didn't mean anything. Luckily she gave me food afterwards, so I was good. I still am. It didn't mean anything. And it still doesn't. I am one of the 1000. I was born this way, and yet I had to effort, I had to struggle to completely become one of the 1000. Since the DNA adjustment back in the middle of September, I have had a handful of clients who have been trying to break out of that cocoon. And become a butterfly. It's tricky. When meanings take over, the adjustment turns off. And interestingly, reality disappears altogether. What else disappears with it is a sense of calm, a sense of self, a sense of power. And the only thing that remains is understanding and meaning. I haven't given up. Why? Because even those brief hours, days of living in reality are starting to gently turn those clients to want to live in reality. The contrast between the two states is now obvious. And that creates desire. And hopefully ambition to return to reality when reality disappears. Now, what can I offer you now that you know all this? In the Art of Living, create a context for your life will have useful bits for everyone. No meaning in reality is a context. The ones that are ready may be transported to reality. The ones that are not ready will get a skill that can transform any situation to better. So you'll suffer less. Learn to create a context. Go to www.yourvibe.me/contextlive to register. The course starts this coming Saturday, December 4th. All sessions are on Saturday noon, my time. I'll do the first session twice, because it is the foundation. All sessions are recorded and are available for registered students. Here are the dates. This coming Saturday, December 4th, 2021, 12 p.m., 3 p.m. EST, December 11th, 2021, 12 p.m., 3 p.m. EST, Saturday, December 18th, 2021, 12 p.m., 3 p.m. EST Saturday, January 8, 2022, 12 p.m., 3 p.m. EST January 15, 2022, 12 p.m., 3 p.m. EST. If you quit after the first session, I'll refund half of your tuition. After the second session there is no more refund.